Dr. William Masters and Mrs. Virginia Johnson pioneered research in America on sexual dysfunction, especially amongst married couples. We're visiting with them this week on All Things Considered, and I asked Masters and Johnson what they discovered to be the main reasons for unsatisfactory married sex. Is it fear, embarrassment, or is it the way we look at the role of sex in daily life as a kind of postscript to the end of the day? Mrs. Johnson.
It's based on attitude. If you had to pick, if you're asking us to pick one single thing at the baseline of dissatisfaction, wouldn't it be the attitude?
Oh, I think so. Actually, I would go have a little different interpretation. I think the main reason that most marriages, not most, but a major percentage of marriages run into sexual dysfunction is what we were talking about earlier to a degree, the lack of communication. People simply don't describe their needs, don't describe what pleases them, either in or out of bed, don't describe how they feel, don't describe really just where they are as individuals.
But that has to do with how they look at it in the first place, or how they're allowed to look at it or think they can.
Mm-hmm.
Their attitude towards sex.
Everybody's always asking you what's normal. And it's a common assumption, really, in this country that you kind of begin a marriage in a full bloom of sexual happiness and bliss, and that over the years, that sort of impetus is going to blend out in a way, become less important, less intense, as the marriage settles into something else, a companionship, an economic structure, a place for nurturing of the children. You say that doesn't have to happen, and in a way that we're selling ourselves short by permitting it to happen.
We say that the tragedy is when it does happen, literally, because then two people are living a life of infinitely less than they can be, not only collectively, but individually. Certainly it's true that for most people that after a period of time, sexual functioning will lose some of its newness, some of its intrigue, and that's the time that sex can become so many different things other than that's just a quick dash to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And basically speaking, it's just a matter of two people growing in depth and personality, two people learning to express their needs and their value systems to each other.
Has a lot to do with priorities. We're still in a society that, along with believing that everyone's an expert in sex because they're born sexual,
right,
and so on, they also go on to believe that it just happens. Therefore, they don't build in any priority system for it. So when they get terribly busy with babies and terribly busy with achieving security, be it economic or social or whatever, they forget that there has to be some time to be sexual together, and especially for those people who tend to separate sex out of shyness or inhibition and so on. There's no time for it.
But, you know, you give one example of the woman in the kitchen whose husband comes from behind and hugs her. He, you say, is making a kind of sexual gesture to her, and she pats him on the cheek and says, "Okay, dear," or something, and then gets about doing the dinner. Well, you know, if she didn't, the dinner would burn. It might be inappropriate for them to have intercourse in the middle of the kitchen at 6 o'clock in the evening with three kids waiting in the dining room for their supper. You know, are you not being a little unrealistic in this?
No, you don't have to stop and do it right then. That's a promise and a reminder and a memory and
the greatest mistake that most of us make is to think that sex is just intercourse. Sex is that pat in the rear, sex is that pat on the cheek, sex is the look across the room. All of these special senses, the sense of touch, the sense of sight and hearing, these are all part of our sexual nature.
The aura of warmth.
As a matter of fact, the greatest sex education in the world is if the kids happen to be in the kitchen rather than the dining room and see that happen, and they say to themselves, "Boy, that's for me someday." And this gets back to what my partner was talking about in terms of sexual attitude. The mistake we make is to think that mechanical sex is either the procedure of choice or something that will last for any significant period of time, because it isn't or it won't.
Dr. William Masters and his wife and partner, Virginia Johnson. Tomorrow, Masters and Johnson talk about mechanical sex and the use of techniques to achieve certain sexual goals.